What a blessing, amen. Thank the Lord. I want us just to bow together for a word of prayer right now. And I'm going to read a text in a moment and bring you a brief message this morning, if the Lord's will. But I want us just to take a moment right now. First of all, let's thank the Lord Jesus Christ for dying for us that we might have everlasting life. And then I want you to thank the Lord for those faithful men and women who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, and especially for their families, and for all those veterans who have gone on, and for their families that remain behind. Now, would you just thank the Lord for those who currently serve in our military, men and women around the world, and pray God's blessing on them and their families while they are away. And then would you pray for your nation and for our nation today, that God would speak to hearts, that we might have real repentance, that we might see revival in this nation. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning with grateful hearts. Thank you, our Father, that there were those who in days gone by and even today who were willing to serve at peril of their life, and some who gave their lives, many thousands upon thousands, our Father, that we might have freedom today. Lord, I'm glad I'm standing in America today with the privilege of preaching the gospel. And our Father, I pray, God, you'd help me, God, to have your anointing power. God, help me, help every Christian in this building, all those in the radio audience, our Father, to take advantage of the window of opportunity we still have to share the gospel, our Father, to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Help us, our Father, as good soldiers of the cross, to stand for you and love you and serve you. Our Father, in spite of all that goes on around us, that we'll stand for the Word of God and stand for the Bible. Our Father, we'll be faithful till Jesus comes. And our Father, we know that ultimately, regardless of how dark the day and regardless of what things look like, that, Lord, we are on the winning side. Our Father, we've read the end of the book, and we know, God, what you're going to do. And God, I pray, God, you'd help us in these days to have great boldness. God, forgive our Father for our failures. Forgive for our sin. God, I pray that you'd bring deep conviction. And then, Father, I pray, God, that you'd grant boldness that we might be faithful to you in these last days. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Numbers, the book of Numbers. I ran across a verse a few days ago, or actually a week or so ago now, and it spoke to my heart. And I thought, well, I'll share that verse, I believe, if the Lord would have me to on Memorial Day, as we think about people who died and how they died, the horrible circumstances under which some died, and those men of valor, those women of valor who stood to the very end. And it would raise a question in my mind and in our heart, how will you die and how will I die? Notice in the book of Numbers, there's one speaking here who's maybe not the best example, but his name is Balaam, and he has been called by the king of the Midianites, Barak, to come and to curse the nation of Israel. And of course, there's a sequence of events that take place here, and he refuses to initially and so on. But that's not the point of the text this morning. I want to draw from the text something that may speak to our hearts. Notice in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, if I didn't give you a chapter, Numbers chapter 23, and I want to read verse number 10, and then I'm going to have you to turn over to the Old Testament, to the book of Hebrews chapter number 9, or to the New Testament, rather. Hebrews chapter number 9 in the New Testament. First of all, Numbers 23 and verse 10. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Let me die the death of the righteous and my last end to be like his. How do you want to die? How would you like, how will you die? Have you ever thought about that? How will you die? I want you to go over and read a verse with me in chapter number 9 of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27. And as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look unto him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Verse 27,
and is appointed unto me and wants to die, how will you die? I don't know if any of you like old westerns or not, particularly old John Wayne. I like John Wayne. My wife has got a big collection of John Wayne movies. You remember little lines, most of you remember little lines of those, and maybe certain scenes if you like that kind of stuff. But there's one line that just caught my attention one day. I don't know what was going on or what the storyline was or anything. It was one of those situations when there was a gunfight or some sort of something happened, and John Wayne ended up having to shoot a man. And there was a younger cowboy with him, and he said, "You shot him. You killed him." And John Wayne, as only John Wayne could say it was, "Everybody dies. It was his time." I don't know why you're going to die, but there's coming a time, it's going to be your time. It's going to be my time. I had a very good preacher friend you've heard me talk about so many times, Brother Avery Rogers. Brother Avery Rogers was a faithful Christian, faithful preacher. Served the Lord in Victoria, Texas for many, many years and pastored great churches. And during the Depression, his church grew so large that they couldn't get the people in the building, didn't have any money, no money during the Depression. And so they voluntarily divided as a church, and part of them started meeting across town in a tobacco warehouse, and he pastored both churches. He drove back and forth, and God's blessing on the ministry, both churches grew to over 2,000. My wife and I attended his funeral in the first church he pastored there in Victoria. Brother Avery died when he was 82 years old, I believe. He'd gone in full-time evangelism when he was 65, and he drove everywhere he went. Kept all of his outlines and books and stuff in the trunk of the car. Dr. J. Harold Smith told me one time, said, "We begged Avery to start flying." He said, "These preachers will fly you to meetings." He said, "But I can't take my stuff." He wanted to carry all of his stuff in the trunk of the car. And he'd drive from Victoria, Texas to Arkansas to North Carolina and Alabama and out west and everywhere else. But on one particular night, while we were pastoring in Reesville, North Carolina, the phone rang, and it was Miss Ollie Rogers, his wife, and she said, "Brother Billy, Avery is at home." And I thought, 2 o'clock in the morning, that's a good place to be, at home. And I said, "Ma'am?" And she said, "Avery's dead." I said, "What?" And she said, "He left a meeting in Arkansas, and he was traveling, going to go to Asheville, North Carolina, to preach at Ralph Sexton's. And said he got tired," she guessed, "and he pulled off the interstate to go to a motel, and when he came off the ramp, you were to turn back immediately to your left into the parking lot, and he missed it. And he went down just a few hundred yards past the motel, and evidently several people had done that, and there was a place on the shoulder of the road where people had been pulling off, and Brother Avery pulled off there to turn. A car was approaching him, and as it passed, Brother Avery turned to go back to his left, and as he made his turn into the lane, a driver came up and hit him on the driver's door, and he died instantly." I thought, "Wow, I don't understand that. I don't understand that great man of God dying out in the middle of nowhere by himself." Well, how will you die? How are you going to die? Our good preacher friend, Brother Bill Jenkins, down in Florida, something changed his life several years ago. His sister, to whom he was very, very close, almost like twins. They just loved one another to death. Anyhow, she was a faithful Christian. He was a pastor. She lived in another state. And he got a call that on her way home from church one Sunday night, his sister was hit by a drunk driver and killed. How will you die? How are you going to die? What circumstances will you die in? I got to thinking, look in the Bible. I want to show you a couple of stories in the Bible about how people died. And notice, if you will, please, in the book of Luke, chapter number 16, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and all of you know the story very well. But in the book of Luke, chapter 16, it says in verse 19, "And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desired to be fed of the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sore. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that no man would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. How will you die? Here's a man that's a rich man. He died unprepared. If you look at this man's life, you think he's a man of detail. He's a man who wants to have everything just right. He evidently, he had everything right in his business. He was a rich man. He had watched his money. He had business practices that would afford him to make a profit. He was able to amass great wealth. He'd made great preparation about his business and being successful in business. Evidently, he had invested a good bit of his money in his property. And he had a great home. And he had a gate or had it in an enclosure. I'm sure that it was furnished with the best of furnishing. I'm sure it had the best architecture of the day. I don't doubt he didn't plan everything about it so that it could be all the heirs could be best utilized and be for his comfort and the comfort of his guests. He prepared every bit of that. He was concerned and he was prepared in regard to his dress. The Bible said he was dressed in fine linen. I mean, he spared no cost in preparing his clothing. I believe he's one of these fellows that would have everything just right. If he had a closet, he'd have everything just right. He'd have the top brand names and everything else you could have. Fine linen. He prepared everything. He wanted to give the appearance of his success. He wanted to be presented as picturing his level of income. And he was concerned about that. And he prepared his clothing. I don't believe he wore everything in a shamble. I believe that before he wore those fine linen, that they were prepared and washed and pressed or whatever needed to be done. So that when he made an appearance, everything was just right. I believe he prepared about his food. The Bible said he fared sumptuously every day. I mean, every day he had a great feast. And he had selected it and purchased it. And he had perhaps the best cooks. He had everything you could ever imagine, right down to the smallest detail, planned and prepared. Except the most important thing in all the world. He died and in hell. And all of a sudden, Lazarus died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. And so how ironic the tables turned. One man had everything and he lost everything. And one man had nothing and he gained everything because of preparation. This rich man died unprepared. He had not prepared to meet God. It said it's appointed a man once to die. And after that, the judgment. Everybody in the sound of my voice, unless Jesus comes in the rapture, will die. My dear friend, that's the most important thing you can prepare for is death. And how do you prepare for that? You must have life. The Bible said, she that lives in sin is dead while she yet liveth. The Bible said that we were dead in trespasses and sin. But thank God, the Bible said, you hath he quickened, made alive who were dead. And Jesus Christ is our life. And you prepare for death by knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Savior and Lord.
And do you know him as your Savior and Lord? How will you die? You know, the circumstance of your death really wouldn't matter. If you died of a sickness or you died in an accident and died some other way, all of that wouldn't matter as long as you knew the Lord. I had a fellow down in church in Valdosta, Georgia. His name was M.B. O'Quinn. Me and M.B. were buddies. We cut up all the time. He'd pick at me and I'd pick at him, just kind of like we used to do with G.P. M.B. died. M.B. was a good guy. But his death circumstances was just ironic. Brother M.B. had open heart surgery and came through that surgery great. I went in with his family. His wife went in. We talked with him. He was doing good. It's always astounding to me that they can open you up, do all the duty of your heart, and then a matter of hours later, you're wide awake and looking at people and talking to them. And M.B. was just that same way. I left the hospital, and his wife and some of the family was going to stay there. And you know what? His wife got sick while she was there. They had to admit her to the hospital. And some reason, I don't know, something happened during the night. And Lawrence Hester's, his son-in-law, called me and said, "Brother Billy, M.B. is dead." And I said, "What?" He said he died. He died. And wow, what a circumstance. His wife was admitted to the hospital, same hospital. We had to do the funeral. She couldn't get out of the hospital. She couldn't go to the cemetery or nothing. It was just an awkward situation. She was so sick, her daughter had to make all the arrangements for the funeral and everything. It was tough. I mean, it was tough. No, Ms. Ruby was in the hospital. And just a matter of moments ago, I mean, we'd been in the room with him, and she was just praising God, and we thanked the Lord together that he was doing so well, and then she got so sick, and then he died like that. And you know what? M.B. loved to play a little bit of golf. He wasn't like Bobby Crook. Brother Bobby's a good golfer. Dennis Norris is a good golfer. But he played like I did. That's why I like to play with him. It's dangerous to be anywhere within the general vicinity where me and M.B. play golf at. But you know what? Golfers had a saying. If you ever knocked a ball in the sand and you have to take that sand shot, and Chuck plays golf, but if you hit that golf ball out of the sand, sometimes you hit it and go right at the hole. Sometimes you get it out and it gets on the green, you know, a long ways away from the hole. But when I first started playing golf, I tried to hit one out of the sand, and it just barely did get over the lip. It just fell on the edge of the green there. And there's a long, long ways from the hole. And all those people tried to console me a little bit. And they said, "Preacher, didn't you know that any out is a good out? Any out's a good out." And so when I preached Brother M.B.'s funeral, you know what I told them? I said, "Any out is a good out if you know Jesus. I don't care how you're going to leave out of here. Praise God. I don't care how you leave out of here. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better." My dear friend, it makes no difference if you know him, if you're prepared, how you leave, as long as you're prepared, any out's a good out. You get to go to heaven. No more sickness, no more pain, no more trouble, no more worries, no more cares in his presence for all eternity. Any out is a good out if you're ready to go. The question is this morning, are you ready to go? How will you die? This man died unprepared. Turn over in the book of Acts. Let me show you something real quick. In the book of Acts, there's another story in the Bible about somebody that died and some people that died. In Acts chapter number 5 is a story about a man and his wife. What's going on? God, the Holy Ghost has come, Pentecost, everybody's blessing, has been blessed. Many have been saved, and there's just such a wonderful spirit. The Bible talks about the joy of the Lord, the grace of God, and all was being spread around, and people were selling their possessions and giving to the poor and giving to the cause of Christ and so on. And the Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 5, look at verse number 1. "But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold possession and kept back part of the price, which his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard the things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. I won't read the rest of the story. His wife also came in and she died. But here's a man who died. And he died in the gathering of the believers. Died at the church house. But he died, my dear friend, unclean. The Bible said that God had put it in his heart. He sold a piece of property. He was good to money. Somewhere along the line, they decided they wouldn't give what they told the Lord to give him. And so they just gave him part of it. Part of it. My dear friend, and he said, Satan hath lied, filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Boy, it was a tragic end for him. He died like that. Have you ever thought about, you ever had anything in your heart, your life? You ever done anything, said anything that after it was over, you said, boy, I'm sure glad the Lord didn't come back when I was thinking that, when I was doing that. But you know, the truth of the matter is, the Bible said in the book of 1 John that there'll be some who will be ashamed at his coming. And with whatever's in your heart. You know, it's pretty good stands to reason that whatever's in your heart when he comes back might be what's in there right now. When I worked in the Texas mill up in Roanoke Rapids, this lady I kept talking to, a witness to about the Lord and everything, and I was talking to her one day, and she said, Brother Bill, I can't go to church. And I said, why is that? And she said, I don't have anything to wear. And she worked in a textile mill, but she was dressed fairly, you know, nicely. And I looked, and I said, well, ask you a question. I said, Jesus is coming again. I said, what are you going to wear if he comes right now in the next few minutes? What would you meet him in? She said, I guess I'd meet him in what I've got on. I said, well, look. I said, if it's all right to meet him, if he comes in there, it'd be all right for you to wear that if you want to come to church Sunday morning, if that's all you got to wear. It'd be all right. You'll be all right. But the main important thing is that you need to be ready to meet him. You need to be ready to meet him. And it doesn't matter what we've got on physically, but what's on the inside that makes a difference. I wonder if there's anything in your heart or life that you'd be ashamed if he came right now and he caught you unclean. I'm going to tell you, I hadn't been as faithful to the Lord as I wanted to be, and I want to be clean. I want to be right with him. But can you imagine what it would be like to be standing in front of the church house and have lied to the Holy Ghost and lied to the church family and go out to meet God just like that? Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be something to leave out like that, to meet the Lord like that? Having just said something or thought something or done something, wouldn't it be an awful thing if the Lord came and you died right then? It's very important you stay close to him. And the wonderful thing about it is you don't have to die with something your heart ought not to be there. He said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But I'm going to tell you, some people will die and they'll die unclean and meet the Lord like that. I want to show you somebody else in the Bible. You know him well. Go back to the book of Matthew chapter 27. In Matthew chapter 27, here's this man. And I want to just show you what it says about him. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned then that I have betrayed innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? See thou that? And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Wow. Here's somebody who died unfaithful. Unfaithful. Walked with the Lord for 3.5 years, saw him do great miracles, saw all that. And he died denying the Lord, denied betraying the Lord. And he died, my dear friend, unfaithful. Have you been faithful to the Lord? Are you faithful to him? The Bible said more of it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. You see, everybody can't sing. Everybody doesn't preach. But everybody's required to be faithful. You're required to be faithful to the Lord, to be faithful at your post. Be faithful at what God wants you to do and do what God wants you to do. Have you been faithful to do what God would have you to do? Don't die unfaithful. Is there anything that God's put in your heart to do? Anything that God said you ought to do and you've been putting it off? Has it been a series of circumstances or series of excuses that you haven't done something God spoke to your heart about? Don't die unfaithful. Don't die, my dear friend, not being faithful to Him and doing what He'd have you to do. In these last days, the Bible said the love of many shall wax cold. And it said many would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Oh, my dear friend, you and I in these last days will have to be very careful that we don't let our love for Him get cold, or that we don't drift from the faith that we've trusted in and that we've believed in for all these years. God, help us to be faithful to Him. I want to hurry on. Look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And notice this story of a man who dies in Acts chapter 7. Many of you are familiar with this story as well, and what a blessing it is. As you think about this early church and how God's working, how God's blessing, and all the great thing, the Bible said the church grew so rapidly they had to choose some men, we believe, to be deacons to serve and to take care of the administration or the giving of supplies to the widows. One of those men that was chosen was a man by the name of Stephen. And the Bible says that this faithful man named Stephen, that God's filled him with the Holy Spirit of God, he was full of the Holy Spirit of God, and that he preached. And in the book of Acts chapter 7, he stands up to preach and he preaches a long message. But he says in that message that Jesus is the Christ, that He suffered and bled to die for all of Israel, and that we as a nation have sinned, and in particular those in religious leadership, that they have disobeyed God and they've turned their back on God. And as he began to say all those things, listen to what he says down in verse 51. And he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised heart and ears, do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have you not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by dispensation of angels and have not kept it." And he said, Israel, the Jesus Christ, the just one, came to you and you killed him. And now notice verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus stand at the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. That'll be Paul. And they stoned Stephen, listen to this, calling upon God and saying, "Lord, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Oh, my gracious. What a contrast between Judas and Stephen. Judas died unfaithful to the Lord. But here, this man, Stephen, dies faithful and unafraid. How can you do that? You say, "Brother Bill, I don't know if I can do that. Man, I see some things on television right now that they're doing to Christians around the world, and it's gruesome. It is to me, too. And I don't know if I can do that." You say, "I don't believe I could. I don't know if I could stand that. I don't know how I could handle that." Impossible for me, you either one, except for this one phrase here about Stephen. And it says this, they stoned him there, but he being full of the Holy Ghost. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. Here's a man who died, lived his life faithful to God, and died full of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to run out at the end, do you? I mean, I don't want to run out at the end. I don't want to just get down to my last day and I've walked out of the will of God. I've walked unfaithful to Him and I don't die. I want to die full of the Holy Ghost. Don't you? What a way to die. To die full of God. To die faithful to God. Here's a man who died. When we had the latest conference and Kyle Rowland's son came and they sang Brother Barry and Deliverance. They sing a song that maybe you've heard on the radio. "I'll go down, but I go down standing up." Amen. And Stephen did that. He went down, but he went down standing up. I'm going to tell you something. You be faithful to God. this world's not going the way you're going. I mean, it's not like it used to be. And can I tell you something? I think you've already figured it out as I have. It ain't coming back. Yesterday's gone. It won't ever be like it was in days gone by. But we can win souls for Christ. And we can leave out of here full of the Holy Ghost. And we can leave out of here with the right heart, right spirit, standing for Him. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I stand for Him, you soldiers of the cross. Stand up for Him in these last days. Stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you going to die? Let's die full of the Holy Ghost and die standing up for Jesus. Turn over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. One last individual I want you to look at. What a wonderful testimony. He who was called the apostle to the Gentiles. And I'm a Gentile and so are you. The man by whom, who stood by Stephen the day he died. And he was consenting to his death. That means more than just saying it's okay. It means he was charging him guilty of death as a member of the Sanhedrin. Here the man Saul, who's now been saved, who met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, who's been born again by the grace of God. His name is Paul. He's lived his life. He's traveled 3 missionary journeys. He's planted churches, seen thousands of people come to know Christ, and left an indelible impact. God used him to write 13 books of this Bible. And God's now in the last days of his life, listen to what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. The apostle Paul died, my dear friend, having finished his course. He's faithful to God. He served God. God's used him. God's put in his hand and through the tip of his pen his own word to write 13 books of the Bible. He's established churches all across the country. He's finished the task. He said, I've finished my course. And church history tells us that Paul lost his head, beheaded. But he's a faithful servant of the Lord. And he's in glory now. And he's glad of every bit of it. He's thankful. He's very faithful to the end. The apostle Paul served the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was faithful to the end. He did whatever God wanted him to do, went wherever God wanted him to go, said whatever God wanted him to say, and he said, I have finished my course. Sometimes I go, and I can't remember if I've done it here recently, but the great missionary Jim Elliott, who died at the hands of the Indians down in South America trying to win them to Christ. His wife's name, Elizabeth Elliott, many of you heard on the radio. But she died there with Nate Saint and some other missionaries there in those jungles at the hands of the people that he went to share the gospel with. As a result of their blood spilled in that river that day and on the banks of that river that day, the gospel continued on and many got saved. And some of those who were instrumental in his death even became evangelists and preached to their own people. God blessed them. God used them. Faithful. I want to die faithful. I want to die having done what God would do. But most of all, I'd like to live like Nate Saint said. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. But then he made this statement. You're to live every day. That if you die today, that dies all you got to do. Just be finished. Have everything done that God wants you to do. I wonder, is there anything in your life or my life that we ought to just say, God, these are dark days for our nation, for the church. But there's ever been a time when we needed some good soldiers of the cross, like Stephen, who will stand, like Paul, who'd be willing to finish his course. God to give grace to them. When Paul died, he left a great legacy of the church. And here we are today, in the year 2015, a part of the fruit of the life of that man, the apostle to the Gentiles. The nation of Rome was not changed by his life. Individuals were. And my dear friend, when he died, Israel was still under the domination of Rome. Rome was still a world power. They still worshiped Caesar. But my dear friend, many were rescued. Many went to heaven. And many, many carried the gospel around the world. And you and I are a result of that. My dear friend, God, the Holy Ghost wants me and you to be faithful soldiers and to win every person we can. And one of these days, to be able to stand with Paul and say, I too have been faithful. I too have finished my course. Thank God, you know what? He said, henceforth is laid up for me, not for me only, but for all them that love has appeared a crown of rejoicing. My dear friend, let's bow together for prayer this morning. How will you die? I don't know about the circumstances. I don't know about the timing of your death or my death, either one. But I do know this, it will not matter as long as we are prepared. Don't be foolish like the rich man and not be prepared. It doesn't matter how we die as long as we die with not a thing between our soul and the Savior. Don't die like Ananias, having lied to the Holy Ghost. Don't die like Judas, not being faithful to the Lord and betraying the Lord. If you're going to die as a Christian, the circumstance will not matter as long as you're prepared. But I pray that God will help me and help you in these last days to live our life like Stephen, to live our life faithful and full of the Holy Ghost, not have bitterness, an unforgiving spirit, being able to pray even for our enemies, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. I pray we'd be like Paul, that we can say the time of our departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've been faithful to God. Maybe this morning, as we remember those who have stood faithfully on the battlefield and gave that ultimate sacrifice, they died bravely. They died sacrificially. My dear friend, would you be willing in these last days to stand, give your life afresh and anew, and ask God to help you in these last days to do what you can to reach folk for Christ, to win people to Jesus, rescue the perishing, care for the dying? Will you get involved in everything you can for the cause of Christ to try to reach people? Would you be faithful in your stewardship to give that others might preach the gospel? And if you're not saved today in this building or in the radio audience, internet audience, my dear friend, you can leave this world prepared or unprepared. You say, Brother Billy, I don't know anything about heaven, don't know anything about hell. You need to know something about Jesus. But I can tell you exactly how far hell is from here. It's three letters away. A-N-D. The rich man died and in hell. Just that quick. Three letters, one word, and. He died and in hell. When you die lost, there are no other chances. It'll come suddenly, no repentance after death. He died and, A-N-D, in hell. Just that quick. If you say, Brother Billy, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, but I wish I'd like to know for sure that if I died now, I'd go to heaven. I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Pastor, will you pray that I'd be saved before it's too late? I want to pray with you, pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Nobody will see it but me and God. In this building today, men and women, boys and girls, guests and visitors, I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to come to you. I want to pray for you. But you slip your hand up and say, Preacher, will you pray for me? If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Thank you so very much. God bless you. Somebody else, you may put your hand down. Somebody else. I want to know 100% sure that I'm saved.